good morning and happy Sabbath. Is everyone all geared up for winter? Just loving it? I don't understand. I'm really thankful to be here this morning. And today we're having several meetings. My husband Dane is going to be sharing the message during the Sabbath hour across the street. And he's going to be talking about a certain kind of rest, spiritual rest. This afternoon, at Vespers time, we're going to have a talk about rest for the stressed. Rest for the stressed. Is it possible to be stressed and be under the age of 25? Is it possible to have stress in your life when you're young? Very young? Sure. Is it possible to be calm on the outside and to be so tied up in knots, planning and worrying, worrying and praying all day long so that you don't have joy in your life? Is that possible? This afternoon at Vespers, we're going to be talking about how to have peace, mental rest. How many of you would like to have mental rest? That doesn't mean to be mentally parked. But it does mean to have a sense of peace and tranquility that we can all have and that God wants us to have. So we want to invite you to come this afternoon and to Dane's message about spiritual rest during the worship hour. This morning, I'm going to talk about a different kind of rest. I'm going to talk about physical rest. How many of you think that physical rest is important? How many of you think it might be tied in to even spiritual and emotional rest? I heard a saying one time that most people who experience sadness are in some stage of physical fatigue. Physical fatigue is linked with sadness. And today I want to spend just a few moments talking about rest. This is not a new topic of conversation to me with students because I have a son at Andrews University. And when I try to talk to him about this topic at times, he'll say, "Mom, you just don't understand." And I say, "Yes, I think I do, but I think you need to understand too." You know, the Bible says in Psalms 127, verse 2, it says, it is vain to sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows. There's a link there between fatigue and stress and sadness and lack of rest. What does it mean to have something that is vain? What does vain mean? What does it mean? Go ahead. You can call out. It's useless. It's worthless. It's unavailing and to no purpose. It is vain to sit up late and eat the bread of sorrows and to worry. You know, God, our Lord, sometimes we manufacture yokes that are heavier for us than the Lord does, don't we? When the Jews were going to go into captivity, the Lord had ordained that they had to go into captivity because of the 70-year captivity. And they were going to go to war and they were going to resist all this and they were going to do their own thing. And the Lord said through Jeremiah, he said, "You've made yourself a yoke of iron. The yoke I made for you was only wood." Sometimes we're so driven. Isn't it possible to just be so driven that we forget how to enjoy the rest that God has for us right here today? Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 6, 31, he said, "Come apart and do what? Rest a while. Rest your mind. Rest your body. Just throttle down and listen to my voice. Let your body recoup and revive." And you know, they didn't do that. They didn't take that advice. And so then a situation came up when they should have been awake, they were sleeping. When was that? They needed to be awake. When? When did they need to be awake? It was critical. At Gethsemane. The Lord went to them three times and said, "Please wake up." But they were physically and spiritually asleep. And that is an important point. You know, I think the thing that we need to avoid the most is independence. When we're independent from God's will, when we're independent from His Spirit, we say, "I'm going to solve this problem. I have these tests. I have so much homework to do. I have so much I've got to do. I've just got to stay up all night tonight." That is solving a problem our way, isn't it? I believe that God has an answer. I believe he has an answer for the stress and the pressure and the schedules that students experience. When I first became a believer and came to the Lord Jesus Christ, I was right in the middle of a master's degree program. And I drank a lot of coffee and ate donuts, and I stayed up late, and I studied hard, and I was ignoring my family and neglecting them. And then I found the Lord Jesus right in the middle of it, right when I should be doing my dissertation. And I gave everything to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you're going to have to solve this dissertation problem. Because the teacher said, you should go away for a week into a hotel room and don't talk to anybody and just work on this thing 24 hours a day. Well, I knew that that was not going to be the case because I had just given my heart to God. So I went to my family and I apologized for neglecting them, and I apologized for being so worldly. And I said, no, now I'm going to serve you. And I had to finish this dissertation, but I made up my mind, God, with your grace, if I'm following you, you've said if we exalt you, you will exalt us. And so I put away the coffee and donuts, and I started playing with my children and taking them to the park, and we started having evening worship, and I went to bed on time. My husband went out, he left that week for a business trip, and so I didn't even have his help that week, and that was the week I was supposed to work on this dissertation. I said, God, my time is yours. And do you know I only worked on that dissertation during nap time? I had a 2-hour space of time every day. The teacher said it would take 8 hours a day, eight to 10 hours a day to do that thing. But I said, God, please help me. And do you know the angels opened the books for me where they needed to be? It was an amazing experience for me. And I turned in that dissertation on time, and I was rested. And my conscience was clear. I wasn't violating the principles of my being. I wasn't going against God's will. And do you know, they told me that that was one of the most brilliant dissertations they'd seen in years. And I give him all the glory. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. So I want to talk to you a little bit about sleep. Sometimes we think it's the most, it's a necessary evil. How can we possibly do this sleep thing? And yet, we know that God has approved a time for man to sleep. If you take a look with me at Psalm 104, verse 20, it says, you make darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun arises, and they gather themselves together and lay themselves down in their dens. Then man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. You know, the devil gets really busy after 9 o'clock at night, doesn't he? There's an old Dutch proverb that says the devil sups after 8, and we often are his dinner. Because when we should be resting and winding down, we're getting geared up, and the enemy oftentimes is in our activities late at night. What are the benefits of regular sleep? Well, I want to talk to you for just a moment about learning and consolidation, memory consolidation. This is a study that was published not too long ago in the journal Science. It says, research suggests that deep, uninterrupted sleep is critical to memory storage, and forgetfulness is related to sleep deficit. Memory consolidation takes place during sleep. What is consolidation? That's kind of a big word. What does it mean to consolidate? If you have a lot of different loans out and you consolidate them, what have you done? What have you done? You've put them all together in one package. Memory consolidation is something that takes place in the brain. Everything that you've learned during the day is consolidated during sleep. Listen to this. This is an amazing thing. The title of this article is Deep Sleep Beats an All-Nighter in Retaining What You've Learned. People who disrupt that process of sleep, those who even stay up just for a single night, may find that they haven't mastered certain tasks, says a researcher at the Boston Medical School. Sleep is critical, he says, to learning. During those 8 hours of sleep, the brain, in this case, the cortex, the frontal part, the executive part, is busy nailing down the memory of what has occurred and what you've learned during the day. Lost sleep means lost memories. Students who rely on all-nighters to study for midterms may have to relearn the information to do well on their final. day to day, it's absolutely critical that young people, that kids get enough sleep. The brain needs the deep sleep that occurs early in the night and later dream sleep to learn material. And if you miss the early sleep, then you don't have the dream sleep later on. So you just miss out on the whole thing. Your secretary quits after midnight. She doesn't do any more filing of memory. So memory is essential. How many of you think that, sleep is essential to memory. How many of you think that sleep, having proper sleep, might have something to do with your mood? How many of you think it has an effect on mood? Isn't it amazing they have to spend $750,000 to study this in a laboratory? All they need to do is come and ask us, right? This is an interesting study. When people fall asleep a little earlier than usual, they rated themselves as more cheerful the following day, even if they slept the same number of hours as they normally did. So getting the same number of hours of sleep, but a little earlier, seems to have a real benefit in terms of mood and depression. And you know as well as I do that stress, when we have constant stress, there is a tendency to be depressed and anxious. And it's very real. And sleep can really help with that process, can help to ameliorate that process or help to throttle down those negative moods. This says the nature of this interaction is that moderate changes in timing of sleep-wake cycle have profound effects on your mood, on your negatives and your positives. So the benefits of making sure that you get some sleep are not only memory consolidation and mood improvement, but also there's a real strong factor with immune function. Immune function. Just missing a few hours a week of sleep can reduce your immune system by 30%. 30%. And it's no fun to walk around feeling draggy, is it? And achy and sniffy noses and sinus infections and all that kind of thing. Also, very, very important that, did you know that when you get a good night's sleep, your stress hormones are lower the next day. You're better able to cope with the challenges of the day, and also blood sugar control is going to be better. And when blood sugar control is better, then weight control is going to be better. That's a real benefit, isn't it? Let's just talk for a moment. I know my time is almost up, but let's talk for a moment about some hindrances to sleep. What keeps us from being able to sleep? Let's hear from you. Yes. Movies? Yeah, sure. Late night movies, watching television, just the medium itself triggers areas in the brain that are fear centers and addiction pathways, and it can make your brain go into high alert. Yes, what else can keep you from sleeping? Stress. That's right. Stress creates anxiety, and anxiety throws off your brain chemistry. What else?
Friends.
Yes, friends who annoy you at night. That's right, who keep talking when they should be sleeping. Snoring roommates, yes. Okay. What else? Pardon? I didn't hear.
Homework,
yes, homework, that's right. But can you make some choices about that? Can you make some choices about some of those things? Absolutely. All right. What are some other things? What about late night eating? Eating real late at night can change your biologic clock so that you're not tired at night, yes. Right there, yes. Yeah, caffeinated beverages, soda pop, and all that stuff. You know, I want to tell you, I don't know if you folks are very involved with soda pop, but I talked to a bone density specialist that said that kids your age, when he's doing bone testing, they're coming in with fractures that you would see in 80-year-old people because of the soda pop consumption. So be careful of that, even if it's a non-caffeinated beverage. So bright lights at night, you know, worrying and planning and doing all this stuff at night. We need to throttle down. Did you know brain energy goes down at night? And so you have to push and use nervous energy to work at night. Ask the Lord to help you to shift your emphasis to the earlier hours and to get that pre-midnight sleep. Fair enough? Late night eating, stimulants, television, internet, lack of physical exercise. How many of you go a day without exercising? A whole day, no exercise, all head work. Oh, you know, I didn't mean for you to have to put your hand up, but not a good idea. Did you know that a 10-minute walk will increase your mood? It will enhance your mood for 1 hour. A 10-minute brisk walk. will throttle up your mood and lower anxiety and stress for 1 hour. So take that to the bank. When you're feeling stressed, instead of sitting down and filling up on milk duds, you know, think of the names of these foods: Bonkers, Zingers, Ding Dongs, Suckers, you know? Those things are going to increase tension and fatigue, but walking, water, exercise, and getting sleep is going to make your mental engine purr instead of ping. Will you remember that for me today? I want you to graduate from college with something up here besides mud. You know, we want the old mental engine to purr instead of ping. And remember that sleep is a vital, vital component. Remember, the Bible says in Proverbs, don't lean to your own understanding. When you're feeling overwhelmed, ask the Lord, Lord, how can this schedule be in your hands? Ask the Lord to help you with your schedule. Won't you do that for me? Thanks.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.